You're listening to NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. This is Speaking of Sports with Jim Daniels on NBC Sports Radio, where every day is game day. And now, it's Jim Daniels.
Thanks for being with us. This is Speaking of Sports on NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. Got a wonderful mobile app that you can grab at the App Store absolutely free. Lots of ways for you to get what we've got. As a matter of fact, the podcast, we've teamed up with Audioboom for a terrific experience. You can even have the shows that you like sent directly to your email inbox. So appreciate you listening again. I'm Jim Daniels, and we're Speaking of Sports, where we like to kick the box score aside and talk about these stories and individuals that are making news in the world of sports. On the program today, we're going to talk to Rick Horro, as we always do. The professor will talk the business of sports with us here coming up in just a few. Drew Sherman from the Adley Law Group in Los Angeles is going to talk about a couple of the legal issues that are floating in the sports world as well. And we'll always talk to Pete Fox and get his take on some of the hotter issues in the sports world to wrap things up. But we start with some of the headlines. One of the big headlines in the sports world this week is surely the NFL draft. No doubt about that. A big show in Chicago. Once again, Mother Nature threatened to throw a big wet blanket on the whole thing, but managed to stay out of the way for the most part. But one of the things that I think that you noticed if you were watching the NFL draft was the crowd reaction to Roger Goodell. I don't think it's any surprise that the crowd booed him, but, I mean, booing him on every single time that he went to the podium. And, you know, after a while, I think even that got tiresome. It's like, okay, look, message received. But then you look at Roger and some of his acts, and maybe you're not surprised. Don't know if you're aware of this or not, but Roger Goodell, when he would return to the podium, he was actually egging the crowd on. He was actually caught on camera saying, come on, come on, bring it on, and motioning with the fingers towards himself, trying to egg the crowd on. Yeah, go ahead, like, I'm into it. I don't know if this is some odd way to try and win the fans over, that you're playing along, that you're having fun with them too. Come on, let's have some fun. We all heard that in the promo prior to it, but boy, I just don't know. I understand that, you know, the commissioner wants to go out there, and I'm sure that, you know, the players want their picture taken with the commissioner of the NFL, where they've just been drafted in the first round. But, boy, I tell you what, the venom that the fans have for this commissioner seems to be on a much higher level than it has been for commissioners past. Another big story in the sports world this week is in the NBA, where, look, it's no secret that you can make a lot of money as a head coach in the NBA, but Luke Walton went on a great run with the Golden State Warriors to start the season, because the Warriors coach, Steve Kerr, had some back issues, had some surgery, and just couldn't do the travel. And so he had to take half the season off. Luke Walton took over. They did a great job. He won 39 of those games. I think that's a big reason why he attracted so much attention. As a matter of fact, when he was winning those games, even halfway through the season, a lot of people were saying that, you know, Luke is going to find himself a head coach next year. I don't think even Luke Walton imagined that he'd be the head coach of the Lakers for $5 million a year over 5 years. $25 million is the contract Jeannie Buss and company offered Luke Walton to come back into the fold. When you take a look around the league, and it's just going to be a short look here, Tom Thibodeau and Stan Van Gundy, these guys get between $7 and $8 million a year. Now, they're doing both jobs, head coach as well as front office, you know, helping make the decisions on what players they want to bring in there. But that's just what the salaries have skyrocketed to in the NBA for that position, $7 to $8 million if you're pulling down both jobs. So when Luke Walton was offered $5 million a year, you take that job. It's the Los Angeles Lakers. You would argue that's the best job there is, or one of the most sought-after jobs there is in the NBA. Maybe the Celtics might be more so. If you're East Coast, if you're the Knicks, you probably want to say the Knicks, or and on down the line, depending on what city you're in. But for Luke Walton, a former Laker and a West Coast guy, yeah, sure. Now, this is right on the heels of his father saying that he should wait. He should stay where he's at. I disagree with Bill Walton on this, because – and I think that's probably before Bill knew that the Lakers were going to offer his son $5 million a year for 5 years. But he was saying, you know, wait, and, you know, don't jump at the first offer. Well, he didn't jump at the first offer. The first offer would have been to jump to New York and go to work with Phil and inherit that mess. Now, you've got a bright future in Porzingis with that player, but your superstar, in my opinion, is a faux superstar in Carmelo Anthony, and that's going to be even more of a project. I know that the Knicks didn't offer that kind of money to Luke, but once again, it's an offer you can't refuse. When the Godfather offers you something like that, you just have to say yes. $5 million, $25 million. Unbelievable. Back to Steve Kerr and the Warriors for just a second, where I saw a story followed by a tweet that said Steve Kerr talking about Steph Curry's availability going forward. He's obviously got the knee sprain. He said regarding Steph, quote, "I'm not going to rule him out for Tuesday's game two in Portland, but there's obviously not much of a chance." Kind of talking out of both sides of his mouth here a little bit. And a little bit of that is coach speak. The reason I bring this up is because I think this would be a horrible decision to rush Steph Curry back. Yes, he's the MVP. Yes, they need him if they want to win a title. I don't think they can win a title without him if he's out the rest of the way. And that's what they risk if they try and bring him back too soon. See Blake Griffin. Speaking of Blake Griffin and the Clippers mercifully have been sent home for the rest of the season to get well and regroup and get ready for next year. Obviously, in basketball, more than any other sport, if you lose two of your starting players, that is a blow that is hard to come back from. Ask the Lakers, going all the way back to losing Magic Johnson and Byron Scott in their match or their quest for a three-peat and running up against the Detroit Pistons. That was the start of the Bad Boys run. But, you know, you took two of the five away, and the Lakers just weren't going to have that much of a chance. Same thing goes for the Clippers. You take away Blake Griffin and CP3, and they're just not going to have a legitimate chance of really advancing or really winning anything or a serious shot at a championship. But in all of this, Austin Rivers, yes, the coach's son, put up a gallant performance. And during that gallant performance, Portland's Al-Farouq Aminu gave Rivers a pretty good shot. This was not deliberate. It was not a dirty play, but he took an elbow to the eye socket. And, man, he looked like a fighter. 11 stitches after the game is what it took to get him stitched back up. You may have seen some of the pictures of this while he's playing. Looked much more like a boxer coming out of a boxing match than an NBA player coming out of a game. Even in the handshake line when it was over with, the guy was walking through the handshake line with blood trickling down his face. Not a good look, but Austin Rivers coming up with 21 points, played hard, and really, really proved, I believe, to a lot of people how much he does really indeed belong on this team, and he does have a future in the NBA. From bright future to future snuffed, and how bad this will get, you'll only be able to tell after the 80-game suspension is fulfilled. D. Gordon has been suspended 80 games by Major League Baseball after the Miami Marlins second baseman tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs. Now, this is a guy that, you know, we saw come up with the Dodgers. He started as just a guy that would come in to as a pinch runner, steal some bases. Well, he has blossomed into the National League batting title champion last year with a .333 average. Signed a $50 million five-year deal with Miami in January. He's made a couple of All-Star teams, and now is going to sit for 80 games for PED use. Once again, MLBPA looking pretty silly and trying to defend this stuff. I understand that's what your job is to, you know, take up for your players. But, man, when you're just busted that red-handed, I tell you, they're going to take a long look, both sides, take a long look at the punishment for PEDs moving forward. This is just, I mean, God, it's January. He just won the batting title just a year ago. Tainted? You decide. Jared Goff is the new man in Los Angeles. Yep, he's selected number one by the Rams in the NFL draft to be their quarterback. Jared Goff is a Bay Area guy, University of Cal, selected by the Rams, but grew up a 49er fan. And leave it to the media to dig this kind of stuff up. And here's Twitter come up to jump you and bite you in the face once again. Going back to July of 2013, Jared Goff on Twitter, quote, "I really hope Yasiel Puig gets a fastball in his ribs tomorrow." Guess we can draw from that Jared Goff is also a Giants fan to go with being a 49ers fan. But you know what? Yasiel Puig, you know what? Forgiven, forgotten, water under the bridge. Yasiel Puig tweeting, at Jared Goff 16, big hug, welcome to L.A. I'll show you around. Be my guest to a Dodgers game. Hashtag Puig, your friend. So how about that? The olive branch from Yasiel Puig towards Jared Goff. Listen, Jared Goff needs to get this message real quick. You may have grown up in NoCal, but you cannot continue to be a Giants fan in Los Angeles. It's one of the biggest rivalries in all of sports. You go rolling around this town in a Giants hat, and that is not going to go over well for you. Unless you're throwing triple the touchdowns to interceptions and winning football games to the Rams, that will forgive everything. But until that happens, better keep your Giant gear in the closet. Coming up next, it's the Professor Rick Horrell will join us. We'll talk the business of sports. It's NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. And it's Speaking of Sports on NBC Sports Radio and NBC Sports Radio right now. Satellite radio, hundreds of radios across the country. You name it, we got you covered. As a matter of fact, a mobile app so you can take us along with you. All right, speaking of sports, we always like to bring in Rick Horrell. He is the professor, especially when it comes to marketing endorsements, the business of sports. He joins us now. I've got to ask you, Professor, if you were in Chicago firsthand for the NFL draft this year.
For the first day of it. And then I was out in San Jose for the Sharks game one and got back in Florida to see what happens on television. Today is a seven-game watching love fest. You mean to tell me, based on an introduction, that if I wanted to go to Borneo and give a speech there to the natives, I could actually hear your show on the NBC Sports app?
That's exactly correct. Yes, you could, as long as you were able to get service. You sure would.
Oh, service! Oh, all right. Well, I'll wait for the next commercial. See how I get service.
Depends where in Borneo I think actually you are.
But yeah, if you're near a tower, which I don't think there is one. So yeah, listen. The idea of the draft is, here is a news flash after watching some of my friends on the media all over the country. It's going to be a difficult Super Bowl in Houston this February, because how can you possibly accommodate 32 teams who basically, when you look at their draft results and what they said to the media, everybody's going to the Super Bowl this year. It's amazing. Somebody's got to lose. How are you going to lose with everything you drafted?
I know they got a lot of room down there, but I don't know if they have that much room. It's a big new stadium, but boy, I tell you what, they're going to have to stagger that action, I'm thinking. Hey, let's stay with the draft for just a second. I know that Borneo is not in line to get it, but there are some other cities that would like to have the NFL draft. Chicago has put on a really good show. Who do you think gets it next?
Everybody misinterpreted moving it from Chicago, and Roger Goodell will say something this week about how positive the economic impact was in Chicago. $81 billion last year based on a survey, 36,000 hotel rooms. It's not an infomercial for Chicago, but what I'm saying is the grand experiment of moving the draft around is working. So when the stadium gets done in L.A., you can be sure that happens. That's a guarantee. They may stagger it, where if you get a Super Bowl a couple of years from now, the draft happens either right before or right after. If that's the case, then look at Minnesota. The point is, everybody with a large downtown ballroom or a small auditorium that's willing to have it, it's going to move around now like the Pro Bowl does and like the Super Bowl does, and it's a very, very good thing for the NFL.
Yeah, it really is, and I think you might be able to find a couple of places that might fit out here in Los Angeles to have that little NFL party.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. That's a given.
Let's talk about a nice upgrade for the fans, a mobile ticketing application that I think fans are going to be very, very happy of. You want to talk about apps and how they're growing and advancing. This is a great example, isn't it?
There's a company called Ruckus. It's a mobile app. They saw a massive spike in sales for the NFL, NHL, and NBA playoff games. What they do is you can log onto it, and it looks like your seat virtually based on if you were at the game, but you can see it in a computer, and if the only seats that are available are behind the post, then they show the post. But listen, 81% of Ruckus users prefer a panoramic view, and the bottom line is you look it up, you see where you are in the arena, you make the commitment, and it'll be a great app. Look for that to be a joint venture with all of these other ticketing organizations in the future. Good for them.
Yeah, you know, now staying with the app thing, too, the Minnesota Vikings are launching a real fan-friendly new app that is going to coincide with the opening of their new home, which is US Bank Stadium. I've seen the pictures of this. It's absolutely gorgeous. Tell us about the app.
well, the stadium's going to be beautiful, and the Super Bowl there is going to be amazing in 2 years, and they're going to have a small but important and discreet area honoring Prince, by the way, who was a big fan there. But the app is the big thing that we're talking about today. 500,000 people logged onto it, bought into it even before it tied into the new stadium. Now you're able to order food. You're able to order transportation from the game at the end of the game. Obviously, all the stuff that you want to do when you're in a game, but you could do it in one app. And now it's going to be a standard, by the way, my friend, for everybody around all leagues to look at high-tech-wise and see if they can get one for their stadium, too.
He's the professor of sports. We talk to him every week about the business, the deal-making, the fun behind-the-scenes stuff that comes to sports. This is anything but fun. Johnny Manziel, the former Heisman Trophy winner, I believe is probably by now, am I correct, that he has exhausted all of his marketing deals, all of his sponsors? Is he down to just mom and dad's money now?
Mom and dad's money, there's a lot of it.
Oh, yeah.
Go through that, too. Yeah,
that's a lot of it.
Yeah, Panini America's deal has expired. He had a couple of other smaller ones. They're gone. Listen, you're in tough shape when Drew Rosenhaus drops you. So the bottom line of this is that he is running out of chances, and now he's got the justice system to worry about. And frankly, if he was the second coming of Johnny Unitas or Dan Marino, people may take a chance on him. There were question marks about his ability to be an NFL quarterback, even with high character. So he's got to do a lot. It will be hard to imagine he'll be on the field again, but you got to give him a chance.
Let's talk about this. This is really exciting for Raider fans. The Oakland Raiders owner, Mark Davis, has been talking with the people in Las Vegas about a serious deal to move there. There is a deal in place, or I guess they're talking about a deal with Oakland County about staying there at least one more year. That might be two if they're going to try and build this palace they're talking about in Las Vegas. Honestly, Rick, you're on the inside of this kind of thing. What are really the chances the Oakland Raiders could become the Las Vegas Raiders?
Well, just because Mark Davis stands up and says we want to make this the silver and black state, it doesn't automatically happen. You got to find $1 billion, and that doesn't happen overnight. The thing about Vegas is you went from nobody touching it to now there is a potential rush to get in first. Mm-hmm. The real issue there is not do you have the money to build the stadium. Is are there enough people that will go to games, or are the casinos the people that will get the entertainment? There's a new arena, obviously. And the bottom line is 10 games a year, there's probably a really good chance that that could happen feasibly. The real issue now is will the NFL allow it? And it looks, for Roger Goodell's sake, like he's softening the stance. So we know there have been some back-channel conversations, and the Oakland County Coliseum Authority has signed up for a 3-year flexible advance to give the Raiders 3 years to play around with this, and also to give Oakland a couple of years to put something on the table, even though they haven't so far. So there is more leverage now for Mark Davis than there was before.
Seems like the tougher putt is trying to get Roger Goodell to sign off on it. I think if you're in Las Vegas, there's an awful lot of money in that town. Rick, thanks very much for being with us. It is always great to hear the business of sports straight from the professor. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, I'll see you nonstop to Borneo, and then we'll talk next week.
Let me know when you're going to Borneo. I'll go with you on that trip, all right? Great stuff. The professor joining us on the show this morning. Up next, Drew Sherman. Oh, we've called the lawyers. Stand by. Oh, back-to-back lawyers. Oh, my God. It's NBC Sports Radio. We are speaking of sports. Thanks for making us a part of your day. This is Speaking of Sports on NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com, as well as the mobile app. The show is brought to you by Grainger, serving you with the products you need to help keep your facility running. Call, click, or stop by today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Time now for us to turn to our another one of our lawyers. Boy, seems like we have an awful lot of those anymore. And the latest is going to be Drew Sherman from the Adley Law Group, my entertainment attorney friend here in L.A. And I want to propose a question right out of the gate here, Drew. Let's say, for instance, your Twitter account got hacked and someone posted a video of you taking a big bong hit in a gas mask literally minutes before the NFL draft started. That would probably create a valid character concern for some of the teams looking at you in the draft. That's exactly what happened to former Ole Miss offensive tackle Laremy Tunsil. And this player spent a good part, I think, of the offseason as the presumptive number one overall pick for several teams looking at him. especially teams that needed that had a need for that player. Tunsil's Twitter troubles really, I think, cost him quite a bit of money, sliding past tackle-needy teams like the Chargers, like the Ravens, like the Titans. But he winds up landing in Miami at number 13. He told Susie Culber on the draft floor that his account was hacked. Drew Sherman, this sounds like a story headed straight for the courts if they find the real hackers, right?
Well, most definitely. Hi, Jim. How are you, by the way? yeah, most definitely. I mean, it's an interesting story right now because it involves a variety of different topics and issues that we're dealing with every day. Number one, just like any celebrity, getting your phone or your Twitter or your Facebook account hacked, especially when you keep things on the private. But number two, you know what nobody's talking about is I wonder if this kid, because he's a kid, had a medical marijuana license from some state. And then you're dealing with the public dissemination of private health records, essentially. And that could be a very bad news for the guy who did it. It should be bad news anyway. But, you know, that'll add an interesting twist, something that we've been talking about for a while, you and I, is that how is the NFL going to deal with somebody who has a medical marijuana card? So, you know, I don't know if anybody's asked them that yet.
The fine folks over at Deadspin reported that someone had been trying to sell the Tunsil gas mask video for weeks. Could they, Deadspin, be forced to reveal who was trying to sell that video to them in the courts?
Not likely. I mean, there are very strict rules. We have the freedom of press here in the United States, and we have that for a reason. And it's been that way since the country was founded, you know, back in 1776. So those are very strict rules. They can, at certain points, for certain reasons, national security being one of them, get them to reveal their sources. But it is unlikely that a court is going to force them to reveal who was trying to sell them this story, essentially. Now, there are supposedly ways that they can get around it and not go through the media. Maybe it leaked here or there from the media, undisclosed. There are a variety of things that can happen that can go that way, but unlikely that they're going to force it, because that would mean that they're going to put somebody from the press into jail until they reveal their source. And nobody looks good when they do that.
No. Again, Drew Sherman from the Adley Law Group in Los Angeles with us, talking about the Laramie Tunsil hacking. The hacking of his account may have been easy for those who did it, but covering up may be near impossible. And that's if the relevant federal forces, federal officials, decide to jump in to investigate like they did for the hack that was committed in Major League Baseball last year. Do you see the feds getting involved in the gas mask case?
Listen, the NFL is a big behemoth. It is a billion-dollar industry that is now, you know, it's more than just a sport. It is entertainment, and it's really just it's more than entertainment or a sport. It is part of our culture, and when you get something that is that kind of status, it is likely that the feds will get involved. I mean, look at any other major story that we deal with in the NFL when we're talking about federal courts and we're talking about the president getting involved and Congress men and women coming in and voicing their opinion and trying to bring legislation to the floors of state legislatures or even Congress, the United States Congress. It is likely that, yeah, they might get involved. And I mean, it's not like Roger Goodell couldn't pick up the phone and call probably the CIA or the FBI, probably got them on speed dial.
He may very well, for all we know. Hey, if they do find the real hackers, should Laramie Tunsil be ready to pursue civil liability against these persons or people?
Most definitely. I mean, obviously it cost him spots in the draft. Mm-hmm. And really what that is extortion. You know, blackmail is extortion. You're going to publicly disseminate damaging material about it for money. And when somebody makes that kind of threat, I mean, I have to be careful in the letters that I send out sometimes, because it can be turned on me that I'm trying to extort somebody. And usually that's only you.
Yeah, usually. Again, Drew Sherman from the Adley Law Group with us this morning. And what about the aforementioned obnoxious Susie Culber? Was it appropriate to ask Tunsil about the incident just minutes after it happened and then continue to ask, is it you? Is it you in the video? Was that you? Even after he'd given her the answer several times to her question. I mean, does Tunsil have any kind of recourse against ESPN or Culber for pushing a story that they didn't even really know the details of yet?
No, I mean, celebrity is a two-way street. And I tell some of my bigger celebrity clients that you you are in a fortunate position because of who you are, but that comes along with some detractions, such as having to deal with the media, such as having a higher standard put upon you for defamation. If somebody says a lie about you, you're a celebrity as well, but you know, if somebody talks to me and says a material lie in public and it causes me damage, you know, it's a lower bar than if somebody made a lie up about you, which is, you know, really rank and file. But nothing is going to happen to Susie Colbert or ESPN, in my opinion. She's doing what she was supposed to do. She's a journalist, and he is a big-time celebrity athlete, and he better get used to it because it ain't going to stop with her.
No, it certainly won't. Now, more to come on this story, I'm sure. Again, Drew Sherman is entertainment a lawyer here in Los Angeles who deals with this kind of thing really on a more often than not basis. Now, the NFL has won the latest round in its Deflategate legal battle, and Tom Brady is once again suspended for the first four games of the season again this year. Now, the U.S. Court of Appeals ruled that the NFL does indeed have the authority to suspend Brady. Now, we know that Brady can appeal, but should he? His reputation is really already tarnished. So the question is, does prolonging the Deflategate agony hurt him and the team any further?
It depends, I guess, on how much the Patriots are going to need him at the beginning of the season. Because if he appeals the appeals court, his suspension will be pushed off, so he gets to play. So I wonder if we got to look at the schedule and make that determination. And honestly, that's probably how they're making the determination right now. Where can they, you know, afford not having him in the lineup? But remember, there's kind of three options. He either, you know, appeals, he takes the suspension, or he settles with the NFL and goes somewhere in between the four games and zero games.
Yeah, don't know if the NFL is going to be in any kind of mood to make a deal. I've heard the word Supreme Court mentioned in the last couple of days regarding this issue. Is this actually something that the highest court in the land would spend time on?
It wouldn't surprise me. Once again, we're talking about the NFL. We're talking about a $1 billion industry, something that is in the culture, the cultural fabric of the United States. Something, and Tom Brady, you know, the All-American boy, known around the world, and you know, it is definitely something that the Supreme Court could take up just on publicity reasons itself. Wow. But they usually keep to a higher standard than that, and unlikely. Now, if he does appeal the Court of Appeals ruling, essentially would be in bank. So he would be going back to that same Court of Appeals, but he would do it in front of more judges, a bigger group of judges, and that would be the first step.
Well, I'm sure that you'll be back on the show again soon to talk about this or maybe some of my misgivings. Who knows? Drew Sherman from the Adley Law Group, thanks for being with us once again on NBC Sports Radio.
No problem, Jim. Thank you, man.
Always good to have Drew on the program and know that he has my back. That's a wonderful thing. But, yeah, boy, can't believe this Deflategate thing is still here. And you know what? There is still the possibility that Tom Brady could try and appeal this. And as Drew pointed out, that means to go sit in front of even a larger group of lawyers, judges, and see if they can come up with a different outcome than they just did. And again, the word Supreme Court being knocked around. I actually think it'd be surprised if the Supreme Court would hear this foolishness. I mean, we're talking about footballs, air pressure in footballs. Coming up next, we'll wrap up the show. We talk to Pete Fox at the end of the show every week. We'll do that next. NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in to NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. I'm Jim Daniels, as this is Speaking of Sports. We do this every Sunday morning where they shove the box score aside a little bit and take a look at some of the stories, individuals that are making news in our world. And this segment, we always turn to Pete Fox and bring him in for his take on whatever we have this week. And this week, what I want to talk to you about, Pete, is the Tom Brady suspension. This Deflategate thing, I mean, I said this just a couple of minutes ago, air pressure in footballs is still what we're talking about, unfortunately. And it's gone back to court. We knew this when it happened. The league said that they were going to appeal. They got what they wanted. They got it in front of a bunch of judges that said, yes, indeed, let's take a look at your contract. that is called the CBA. Yeah, you do indeed have that power. So the four-game suspension is reinstated. We know all of that. The next step is, will Tom Brady appeal the suspension? Do you think he will? Do you think he should?
It's a good question. I don't know. I've had it up to here with this story, and I wish it would just go away because it seems like there's a whole lot of high-paid people that are very intelligent wasting their time on this, and I just find that mind-boggling. I don't think he should, but I think he will, because he has become very petty back and forth in this story. Not about really, I don't feel like it's about the air pressure anymore now. I feel like it's about who's right and who's wrong and who's being shortchanged and who looks bad. So it's all about trying to make yourself look better through this entire story. And that's the part of it to me that makes me feel like Brady and his people and the NFL will continue to go round and round as long as somebody will listen to them whine and complain about this story.
The Patriots were stripped of their first-round pick. That's why they were missing in the first round in the NFL draft the other night. So that that bill has already been paid. I think a lot of this, or part of this, is looking at the Patriots. You know, I've asked the question out loud many times. You know, will they try and appeal this? When you look at their schedule, their first game is against Arizona, second game against Miami, third one against Houston, game four is Buffalo. Without Tom Brady, you could make a pretty good case that they could lose all four of those games, couldn't you?
You could, yeah, and you could also make a case they could win all four of them as well. To me, it feels like it's really hard. The NFL is so in a state of fluidity as to who's good and who's not. Generally speaking, though, there are a handful of teams that come out every year and perform, and the Patriots are usually one of those teams that we can count on being good just about every year, at least through the past few years anyway. And on the other side of things, though, you just don't know who's going to be good or bad. There are teams that are up and down every year, and you don't know if the Bills are going to be good or bad. You don't know if Miami's going to be good or bad. So there's at least, to me, a couple of games there that feel very winnable, regardless of who's your quarterback.
And if you could come out of that 2-2, I think you'd probably take that.
Yeah.
If you're the Patriots. You know, the first game against Arizona obviously looks like the toughest of those. Houston obviously is a pretty good team. But the fact that the words Supreme Court are being knocked around in this conversation, you said just a moment ago that you're amazed at how many high-level people are wasting so much time on this. Honestly, Pete, I would be surprised, not shocked, because nothing shocks me anymore. I always say that. But I would be surprised if the Supreme Court would hear something like this, because it just seems so petty.
Yeah, it really does. But then again, they at times try and find a way to make these type of cases seem like they're about something more. Like, this is more than just about footballs. So this is a deeper issue about unions and how one big organization like the NFL will treat the people that work for them and their union. So I feel like that's how they justify it. They try and make it about something more.
Like they say in the movie Concussion, this is a behemoth of an organization so big that they own a day of the week. Yeah, they do. But last question for you before I let you go. Laremy Tunsil, did Miami make a mistake drafting this guy?
I don't know. I hope not. He seems like a pretty good guy. I don't know that smoking weed through a gas mask with a massive bong makes him a bad guy.
Well, but throwing your team under the bus and saying right there in front of the media, I took money. Wow.
But again, does that make him a bad guy and him a bad football player? Mm-hmm. He was doing the right thing. It was the university that was making these mistakes. He was just trying to help pay his mom's electric bill. So he seems like a pretty good guy. Now, do problems come with him? Wherever this guy goes, are there problems? I think that's the biggest question.
Yeah, because it does seem to follow him. You know, it's more than just the pot. The pot thing is, you know, give me a break. You know, what these kids do in the, on their off time and stuff like that. So what? He's smoking pot. I bet half the league smokes pot.
Right. I heard it put this way during the week, and I thought this was an interesting angle on it with the stepfather. And that feels like he is really involved in this part of the story with the hacking and so forth. But is having Laremy Tunsil on your team and having him around, so to speak, and his people, hangers-on, followers, does that create a problem because he's got bad people around him? And does he just bring trouble with him because of the situations that he's in? Let's hope not. Again, he seems like a really good guy and a heck of a football player by all accounts. He was at one point going to be the number one overall pick, so yeah. We'll have to wait and see.
Great stuff, Pete Fox. Thank you for your participation, as always. Great job. Thanks so much. That's going to do it for our show this week. Speaking of sports, we'll be back next week and do it once again. Coop? Do we get Coop next? Coop is next on many of these NBC Sports radio stations.